Hey, did you miss me? Well, I missed you, and I'm so glad to be back with the Run More with Rico podcast. I'm your host, Rico Moore, and this is a podcast where we talk about running and life and how they mix so well together. And I'm so glad to be back. As I said before, it's been a while. I think the last podcast I had was December of 2023. Decided to take a break and really refocus and rethink about what I wanted my podcast to be. If you are new to this podcast, welcome. And thank you for the listen. Hope you stick around for the whole thing. And if you like it, please subscribe so you can get some more content. If you were with me and you say, hey, where'd he go? Or if you listened to the last podcast, the last series of podcasts, it was really talking about the imposter syndrome. When you don't feel like you're qualified to talk about or to engage in the activity. And that was something I found fascinating, that subject. And I shared that that is something I could identify with. You know, I was doing a running podcast, not sure where I wanted my identity to be. At first, it was doing interviews on the run with other people, but technically it was not a sound, pun intended, a sound game. It picked up too much wind and other things I thought would be good atmospheric presentation, but it just got too busy, too distracting. So I stuck with in studio, had a couple of guests on there, which worked out pretty well. I enjoyed that as well. But I just was all over the place, and I didn't feel like I was a good authority. Why would anyone want to listen to me about running? You know, what are my credentials and blah, 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 blah. So I stopped and really rethought about maybe I'll do something else. And I don't know, just talking to my gorgeous, beautiful, smart, supportive wife, who's a lot of doors are opening for her, and I'm so happy for her. And she just inspired me to get back and to do this podcast. So here I am. And I'm doing it off the cuff. I have some notes, but I'm going to do one take. Not really. This is my second take. The first one, I tucked myself into a corner. So let's get with it. So hopefully I have a thumbnail and is talking about the Delano 12-hour championship. That was an ultra race that took place last Saturday. Check my calendar. I think March 2nd. In Decatur, Alabama. This is one I've done for four straight years and has a special place in my heart. It was the second ultra running race I ever did about 4 years ago. The first one was Mountain Mist. What a, you know, baptism of hell right there. Make your first ultra running at 50K, which was considered one of the hardest mountain races in the Southeast. And boy, it broke me down like a fraction. It really did. But, you know, I wanted more and did Delano, and I was hooked ever since. And I do want to give a history about Delano, but this episode is talking about just the this recap of that race and the main takeaway, the main thing that really got me over to successfully finish that race. And of course, there's many components about that, you know, the fitness, the training, the rest, the nutrition, you know, and all those things. But man, it was just all mental. That is the only thing that's ever gotten me through all my races. When your body fails, when you have doubt, when your nutrition is not kicking in, or you don't want to eat or drink, or you feel sick, all those things, it's the mind that has to really take over. And so I want to get to my show notes and talk about the Delano 12-hour race. Again, it's at Delano Park in Decatur, Alabama, and it's a nice track. It's a walking track. It's not a true circle. If you look at the map, it's set next to a playground, and there's a middle school with a softball field, and it's a curvy kind of track. So it's not like a circular track, but it's about 1 mile. And I first started that race in, let me look at my results and my history, and let me roll back the time, in March 6th, 2021. I ended up getting 45 miles, and it was a 12-hour race, but I think I had to bow out around the 8 or 9 hour. I was just not physically fit. to do a 12-hour. You know, there's one of the things I came into ultra running green. And so, you know, I thought, okay, hey, I got to amp it up from, you know, 0 miles to like 50, 60 miles a week. And, you know, just running hard. And you know how it goes. You just do too much, too fast, and too soon. So I ended up developing IT band syndrome. Hello. Never had that before. And I decided to rear its ugly head like prior to the race, but full blown at the race to the point where even walking was very painful. And so I do have a video of that, me just strolling in. And I ended up being 24th overall, and I think 17th, probably male. And at the time I was 49 years old. And so went back, and in between that, going back to that same race, I had 1, 2, 3, 4 other races before I went to Delano Park again at age 50. Finished the 12 hours, ended up doing so much better. I went from 45 miles, my first Delano race, to 56 miles. So 11 more miles than the previous year. And I went from 24th overall to 10th overall, and 6th, I think, as a male. And unbeknownst to me, also being 6th male, I was still, I joined a new club. When you're 40 to 49, you're considered master's division, and you can get awards for master's division. And then when I hit 50, well, I didn't win anything when I was 49, but 50, I became a grandmaster. I like that name, grandmaster. And I ended up winning the Grandmaster Championship. That means I did better than anyone from 50 to 59. I didn't know that there was a plaque for me. I didn't even get that plaque until 2023, a year later. And speaking of a year later, go back. And well, the problem, the issue with that race, the second round of the 12-hour, was I was still green when it came to nutrition. I did not drink enough. It was hot that day. I drank too much earlier before the race. Was like I was constantly stopping and having to pee. It was so annoying. It seemed like every mile. So I decided I'm not going to drink anymore to calm down. Of course, that led to dehydration, and nutrition was out the window. I remember my friend Brian had to force me to eat, and maybe towards the halfway mark. But, you know, ended up not only getting 50, which was my goal, but 56 miles. So then get back to March 4th, 2023. I had a successful year from the previous locomotion to many other races I did. And I started finishing a lot of the races in the top 10. Or top five. I even got a third overall in my first 100-mile race. So I felt like, you know, I wasn't a middle of the pack or someone who brought up the rear, which is nothing wrong with that. But I felt like, okay, you know what? I think I'm finding a stride and finding a groove. But I was still very green because that year I found out there was state records. And I believe the record for a 51-year-old was 72-73 miles by Satterfield. I forgot his first name. I shouldn't have, because I know I taught his daughter when she was in fifth grade. I forgot his name. He's a great ultra runner. Rest in peace. He passed away, I believe, many years ago due to a heart attack or heart failure. From what I heard, I don't know. And if someone knows, you can, you know, reach out and let me know. But I thought, okay, let me just do the math. He 73 miles, that means I have to do like, I think, a 9:45. Cool, you know, on paper, 9:45, let's get it. And I was doing it for the first 4 or 5 hours. But again, it's one of those things where my weekly mileage was not conducive to my goal. And I truly believe there is a mind over matter. But eventually matter, which my legs will start to break down. And I went from 9:45 to 10 minutes to 10 minutes 30 to 11, and I just got slower and slower. And but I ended up getting 60 miles, so another breakthrough. Added 4 more miles to my previous best. Finished 6th overall and 4th, I guess, as a male, and that got me enough to win my second Grandmasters Championship. And again, I did not know I won that. All the races of the Delano Park, I think it's from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then at 7 or 7:30, you go to this church, have a award banquet. I'm like, I didn't win anything and I didn't really know anybody. I just want to go home and eat a lot of food and rest. And so maybe a month after that, I received a package in the mail and it said Grandmasters Championship. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so incredible. I didn't even know that I won that. And you know, I was, you know, on cloud nine. And then maybe a month or two later, Jamie Morrow, who is a manager at Fleet Feet, what's up? She said she has a package for me. And we kept on missing each other. And eventually my friend Brian Smith, who's an acquaintance of her, got the package for me, gave it to me, and it said Grandmasters Championship. I said, oh man, they sent me double. That's silly. I don't want to keep both. But it took me a while to look at the date. And so I had the one they sent me in the mail that said, you know, Grandmasters Championship 2022. And the one Brian got me, I looked and it said Grandmaster Championship 2023. So, you know, I won back to back. And again, cloud nine squared. And thinking, wow, I didn't even know I won back to back championship. And so jumping now, I did maybe three other races. And so I decided I'm really going to train for Delano Park. And so not only that, but my intention was to three-peat. I said, I'm going to try and get the Grandmasters Championship on purpose. And the state record at that time for 52 years old was 60 miles. I said, hey, I just did six. No, yeah, the state record is 59 miles for 52 year old. I said, well, I just ran 60 miles. Hopefully I can run another 60 miles. So from that point on, for about 6 months, I specifically trained for that. And again, the 2023 race was March in 2023. I did Devil's Racetrack in April. I did Locomotion, which is a 12-hour, which I think I won the championship on that one too. I got third overall, but I won the Grandmaster Championship on that one. And Blue Heron was September. So September was my last race going into last weekend's race, which was again September. And so 6 months I devoted myself. I didn't try to do any other races. And that's where the training really, really went into full effect. And that year, 2023, I did my first 2,000 mile season. I ran 2,000 miles. I've always come close. The year before that, in 2022, I did 1,700 miles, and then 2021 I did 1,500 miles. So that's when I really want to do is get the base in. And so I'm going to cut to, you know, of course, it was basically run, lift, rest, repeat, run, lift, rest, repeat. And running was my base of trying to get 60 miles, arbitrary number. I mean, I could have gotten 50, but in the previous seasons or races, I would be sporadic. It'd be 40, 50, 45, 30, all those things. But I really wanted to manage my time very well. So I did a lot of my running on treadmill when it became winter time. It was a lot easier, closer to home, help with family and things like that. And sometimes I even, you know, got freaked out a couple of times because, you know, there's so many influencers on Instagram and they, you know, got to tell you, you know, these are the six best exercises. No, these are the six best exercises. Run here, run that, run that. And, you know, one dude said, running on the treadmill is 0 miles. They don't count. I said, oh my gosh, you know, does it not count? You know, I haven't been running on the ground, on the road. Road, you have to pull your hamstrings. Oh, and I really got self-conscious. But thankfully, you know, I just stuck to my gun and, you know, still ran a majority of the time treadmill. And then in January, I started adding speed and lifting like crazy, being religiously on time, or making sure I did my squats and core and added flexibility. So those basic things, you know, you do for a race, you know, get your mileage. started doing speed and tempo runs and strides. Strides were the big thing for me. After every run, starting in January, I added a stride for each mile. And strides are just short bursts of sprints that can last from 10 to 20, 30 seconds. And so I made sure I did that as well. So, and my rest was the most important thing. Resting didn't just become don't run. Rest became getting quality sleep. Rest became managing my state. That means not bringing stress from home, from school, not having stress at home per se with anything else. My wife and I, my daughter, we really have great communication with each other. So making sure of that. So now let's get to race day. Let me see how much time, because I know this is 30 minutes. I'm at 15 minutes. Okay. Thanks for hoping you're still with me. Look it back at my notes. Okay. So on race day, I had no jitters. You know what happened? You know, I knew it was going to be a great day, because I woke up and within 10 minutes, I pooped. Boom. I was like, okay, man, don't have to worry about there. Race started at 6, got there at 4:45, checked in. My wife, my foundation, she woke up with me. She came, she set up the tent, she got me all ready. She recorded me, you know, at the starting line. She stayed for 2 hours. She went back home, rested, and came back at 1. She didn't have to come. I told her not to come, but she said, I needed to see you off. And that's very special for me. So again, managing my state earlier with training, the biggest part of training is having that foundation, knowing that I'm not losing time with my family, that they're letting me run. 60 miles a week for me is about 10 and a half hours, depending on my pace. So 10 hours a week, I'm not with my family, and they made it okay. So anyone else who's listening, you have that spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, please, please show that appreciation. And please, please, when you're not running, try not to talk about running, which is hard when you're with that person. Most importantly, invest in what they like. You know, don't go grumbling. Don't go complaining. Don't go, oh, I could be running. Oh, I have to go here. I was supposed to run. When you're not running, be with that person. I'm telling you, invest back in them. Anyhow, the race, I brought some shoes. I ran in Saucony's Endorphin Speeds. I don't like the new ones. So I've been on this quest of buying the shoes that work very well. And I don't want to buy them at retail, because sometimes like they're, you know, out of print or, you know, whatever. So they're up to $200-$300. Like, no. So I've been going eBay and finding like all these shoes I've had before and make sure they're good quality. And surprisingly, they have been great quality. So I stored them on those. So I started off with the Saucony Endorphin Speed 2. That's my jam right there. It was a New York Marathon edition. Ran in those for about 4 hours and I switched out. Didn't have to, but I thought, let me just change into my Endorphin Speed Pro, and which I ran in every race of the 12 hour. Felt like, you know, butter first hour, then so on. But grooving. You know, sometimes your pace matches someone else. I ran to, you know, Melissa Fritz, wife of Eric Fritz, who, you know, they do fringe events, which is the Blue Heron Labor Day 100, and they do the Doubles Racetrack, which is April 15th, I think, this year. If you know about those, check out those races. That's a Backyard Ultra and Wade Mountain. Ran into her, reran maybe 2 or 3 laps together. That's great when you run with someone else, because it takes your mind off the monotony. Of course, her husband came, and Rob was there, so I say hi to them. Kyle Wagner was there, who's just an all-star right now. Talked to him for a bit. Brian, my man, we've done this 4 years in a row. Always great talking to him, because we can just talk about life. We've known each other for about 20 years. So we can just run and talk, or sometimes we can run and not talk, and it feels like we're communicating. But all was great. I mean, my goal pace was 10:30 to 10:40, 10:30 to 10:55. If I ran at 10, I still try to slow it down. The big issue was my three watches. I wore three watches just in case one dies and just try to see if they're in sync, and they were not. I had one watch that said I was running 950, another watch says I was running 11, another watch says I was running 1030. That really screwed things up, and I just try to see what my, you know, perceived effort was, how my pace was, how's my breathing. I think I ended up the whole time running about 11 minutes, which was a lot slower than I anticipated. So I've tried to make some changes with my watch. I think my watch has been off, and so I've been training at a slower pace, but it still worked out in the end. Because I, you know, spoiler alert, that I did end up meeting my goals, which, let me tell you my goals. So going into the race, I had a goal of winning the championship again, which then is a, that's, you know, to say that, that means you're going to run not only at a good pace, but you're going to beat everyone there, and you know, and you're in no control of the competition. And I broke my one rule. I said, you know, if I'm going to try this and I'm going to try to break the set record, let's see who's in my age group. And I've never done that before because it kind of stresses me out. And to see, you know, your placing, you know, and they usually show the entrance and projected finishes, which I'd never care about. I've never taken to heart. Had me projected finishing seventh. And they had one guy named Dieter from Atlanta, I believe, finishing like maybe first or second or something very high. And he was my age. So kind of like, oh, okay, that's the guy I have to look out for. And I tried to make a list, and there was like six or seven people that were 52 years old. Only two that was not a Huntsville native or Alabama native. So I was like, okay, these people could be a, you know, in contention also. They might want to win the Grandmaster Championship, and they might also want to go for the state record. But I could only control me. So my goals were, it went from, you know, getting state record, getting the championship, and also maybe a lofty goal was get 65 miles if I could. I just stuck to one thing, and that's, hey, break the record, break the record. If someone else breaks it too and they do more miles, then they deserve it. And so just kept that. And my strategy was also for the first 10 hours, don't care about how many miles, don't look at the miles, don't see who's ahead of you until 2 hours left. And then you make your adjustments on your pace if possible. And if someone's ahead of you, if you can try to catch up. So everything was on point, my nutrition, all that was on point. My wife got there with my daughter, and they were extension of me. I didn't have to ask really for anything. They told me what to do. They gave me these things. They told me to keep going. So that was fantastic. My first road bump was every time you pass, sometimes they yell at your times, and I'll close my ear because I don't want to know. But one time, I don't know, I was just maybe tired or whatever. I heard them say, Rico Moore, 30 miles, and I looked at the time, it was 5 hours and 38 minutes, and that put me into a dark place for the next 2 hours, because I knew, okay, I'm at 30, it's 5:38, that means I have 30 more miles to break the record, and that's going to be at probably near 11 hours and, you know, 40 minutes, so I'm cutting it close. That means I have to watch my brakes and how much time I spend at the aid station or my tent or the bathroom. And then I knew, okay, well, the next lap's going to be 31 miles, then 32, then 33. So that really put me in a funk. So I was determined to, actually, I'm sorry, it was 28 miles at 5 hours and 38. So I knew, oh man, I'm going to cut it close. And I knew I had to count 29, 30. Once I got 30, I tried my best to forget how many miles. And eventually I did after 2 hours. Thankfully, I ran into Brian again and Craig, his brother, and some other people and talked. But it took a long time. And I was in that dark place. Physically, I felt fine. Had a little twinge in my groin. Like, oh, maybe I'll get a cramp. But everything else, legs were strong and fresh. It was just my mind that was getting kind of weary until I got to the maybe almost 10 hour mark. It wasn't 10 exactly, but I was curious. And my friend Angelo, my brother Angelo from Atlanta, Georgia, came to pace me. He paced me last year. We've done some races together. He kicked butt at this 35-hour Dark Anchor 35 in Savannah, Georgia. Not only did he get first place, but he also, great shout out, set the course record. So that inspired me. He did that maybe a month before I did my race. And credit to his training and his mindset also. He came out and he helped me. I got 5 minutes left before this thing says I have to stop recording and make another one. So let's see if I can get this in 5 minutes. He was there to pace me. And so when he started picking up, and he paced me for at least 20 miles. And he was good about pacing. He's a good talker. He's a good motivator. And at one point when I crossed the line, my wife says, "Hey, do you want to know how many miles you have now?" I was like, "Let's do it. Let's do it. Tell me." It wasn't the 10-hour mark. It was right before it. She said, "Yeah, 50 miles. I said, "Okay." And I knew I had 2 hours and some change left to break the record. But I just started getting these cramps in my groin. It limited. I had to shorten my cadence, and that was frustrating to me. And my mindset was just gone. It was like, you know, I told Angela, "Hey, I feel numb." You know, he'd tell me, "Hey, let's get here, here." I said, "Okay." I just didn't have the drive or like, you know, anything. And he would, you know, tell me, "Okay, you're going to get the record, but you need 60. He said, "Okay, do you want 60? Or what's the story you want to tell your kids or kid?" You know, "Did you got 60 or 61 or 62? I said, "I want 62. And so we're, you know, occasionally he would tell me like, "Okay, you see that spot? I need you to hit that spot in 4 minutes. Hey, we got to get back to the starting line in 3 minutes. You need to get here and you need to sprint." And it was annoying because my heart wasn't in it or my mind wasn't in it, but I did it. But I didn't realize his plan, because he knew he can get me the record, but he also wanted me to get the championship. And Dieter was ahead of me. I think they had, my wife and him were communicating, and she would tell me, "Hey, he just left the starting line. He's like 6 minutes ahead." So that's why he was doing math with me. He was like, "Hey, you need to get here and here to catch me up." And it wasn't until I don't know what point that I knew his name and never saw his face, but I knew he ran at a race that Angelo raced at once before. So he recognized him. And at one point we passed this guy and Angelo turned and, "Hey, did I run with you?" I said, "Were you at this one race?" He said, "Yeah, yeah." Instantly, I knew that was Dieter. But you know, we kept on going. Then he turned to me and said, "Hey, that's Dieter. You just passed first place." And from then on, you know, that spark, I said, you know, and this is from another runner, I forget his name, Glaze, who does 200 miles. I said, "Let's put the hammer down." And from that point on, I did not want to see him again. My goal was to try to pass him if possibly. And so got the 60 miles and he said, "Man, you can get two more." I did not want to do it, but I kept telling myself, even aloud, "You've gone too far. You know, you trained 6 months and 10 hours and you want to quit now? You might as well quit 6 months ago." So it was do or die. I wanted the 62 miles, got the 62 miles with maybe three minutes left in the race. Dieter ended up with 61 miles. And so that's, again, to the credit of my team, my wife, my daughter, Angelo, ended up getting fourth overall, getting my third championship and the state record. And so I say all that because it's the mental aspect with that. And so hopefully you enjoyed that. I plan on making more. Next is the Locomotion, which is in Chattanooga, May 4th. That is a Tennessee championship 12-hour. My goal is to get there, but the doctor gave me bad news. My knee was swollen and I have did bursitis in my knee. It says I can't run for a couple of weeks. It says you probably won't make May 4th. So I'm using all that positive energy. Send me your positive vibes that I can get to that race, but I want to get there safely. If I can't run, I won't run. That's another story. Thank you guys for listening so much. If you enjoyed it, let me know. Tell other people, share with other people as well. I love you guys. You remember, love yourself. Love the sport you're doing. Respect others. I've seen so many great people out there, all different shapes and sizes. I saw people running faster than me. I saw people walking the whole time, but they're out there. So again, never look down on anyone at their progress, their pace, their shape, their size, their color, anything like that. love, love, love. All right, peace.